Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
Can somebody go up with a shout? God, I say let somebody go up with a shout. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, we give you honor. Thank you because you bless our hearts again. Can you give God glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Thank him because he will bless your heart one more time. Magnify his holy name for his faithfulness. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 and 18, it says that while God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened, that we know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of our glorious inheritance as Christians. Is that your prayer? You can do better than what you are doing now. Pray. Then if it's okay by you, you can take it a bit higher. Can you pray in the language of the Spirit? Just for a few seconds. What it does is that it permeates your spirit for reception. Pray. 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 Imbrata keramana has kobia has. Shekrete bere kavarada mani kabrado sake maradiga hai. You can do better than what you are doing now. Om brabada varadaske pere gede bere akostike. Shambara da 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 barana mana mi kambra da barana mahasko mi kai. Sheke tembrege de beriako para bana mi kai. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name have we pray. Please celebrate the worship team with me. Glory to God. And yesterday somebody left a WhatsApp group where then Pastor Sami belong. The day Pastor Sami will leave that group to be glorious. So later this time we are going to be having the Thanksgiving of Mr. and Mrs. Mr. and Mrs. Victor Caleb. Glory to God. So let's prepare our hearts to rejoice with them. They will rejoice with us too. Hallelujah. And quickly before we sit, so every person that came with them, their family, they are here already. Can we give them a Building Church welcome? We celebrate you. Glory to God. And then, before we sit, please, can you celebrate with me, Pastor Lois James? Is that how we celebrate here? Thank you so much, man, for all you do. We love, honor, and celebrate you greatly. Now, please, can you celebrate somebody to your right and to your left? Celebrate them and tell them they are welcome to church. Is that how we celebrate here? Celebrate them. You don't know, maybe it's the person that you'll be sitting close to when you are taking that flight to California. So celebrate them. And then there's one important person I want you to celebrate. Please, can you celebrate yourself? And please, let's be seated in God's presence. Glory to God. I say glory to God. It's so nice to be in church. My name is Jeremiah James. I'm the lead pastor of the Building Church. And co-leading with me is my beautiful wife, Pastor Lois James. Together, God has given our assignments that we say is our vision, to build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life, to live a life of impact and societal transformation. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 15b, it says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession, That is, it's not what a man has that defines a man, it's what the man gives out. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, the Bible showed us that it said, let your light so much shine before men that they will see your good deed and glorify your Father that is in heaven. So our core values are spiritual growth. Now the reason why we chose spiritual growth as our core value is because our core value are threaded into three layers. We have the building of the inner man, the building of the practical man, and then the building of the outer man. Now the building of the practical man is for competence, your expertise, your ability to be able to give, because you cannot give what you don't have, right? And then the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, Amplified Translation, it says that you'll be strengthened and reinforced in your inner man by the Holy Ghost. So that means that there's a reinforcement, there's a strengthening that comes to you, but it's coming from your inner man. And just like the Yoruba would say, he says it's the rope that is inside that we use to drag the one that is outside. You say, auntie Baobweje, you can take it literal. Actually, it's the strength that is used, but I use open rope. So the Yorubas will say that it's the strength that is inside that you use to draw till you get. So it's just like an Oloto. How many of you know Oloto? How many of you don't know Oloto? If you don't know Oloto, that means you know devil. Because me, I know Oloto. At least literally, if you know Oloto now, God is our Oloto, right? Ahem. But now, if for those of you that are Gen Z or Gen whatever you are, you will not understand Oloto because you came in the eras of Boho. Yes, there are those days that when you go to fetch water, every house has that Oloto. And that is why that time things were truthful. Because after you are drawing water, you are drawing water, you are drawing water, then all of a sudden the fetcher enter into the well. There's something they call Oloto. That is the English version. So, it's the one you use to go and draw the drawer. You use to bring it out. So, if the drawer is not inside the well, you can't draw it out. So, it's like saying that you want to, you hope you know that Oloto is irrelevant if there's no drawer. Oloto cannot fetch water, but it can fetch the thing that can fetch water. So, that is what happened in your inner man. When we say the building of the inner man, you are built inside. Then the Oloto, which is competence and excellence, begin to draw out what is inside of you to the outer man. So we have spiritual growth, we have service and impact, we have personal development, we have honor, we have excellence. I'm the only one saying it. Nobody is saying it. You are feeling good. Please offer this. They say they are feeling good. Yes, now we are in a spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, and societal transformation, right? Glory to God. So those are our core values. And then we have four pillars. Our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Glory to God. And then there's somewhere in the book of Psalms, Psalm 127 verse 1, the Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, the builders labor in vain. What it implies is that there's no building of anything. There's no building church if God is not the one building us. That's why the Holy Spirit is there as our builder. Hope you know, in this era where we belong to, the Holy Spirit is God on earth. And that's why we said the Holy Spirit. That's why we use the Holy Spirit as our pillars. The Holy Spirit is God on earth. The only person that is present on earth now is the Holy Spirit. The only one. Jesus is in heaven. God the Father is also in heaven. So God the Father, God the Son, they are in heaven. It is God the Holy Spirit that is on earth. And we need him. So when the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, what it means is that your life cannot be built if the builder is not on board. That is why the Holy Spirit is one of our pillars. The Word of God is another one. The Word of God is the validation of God on earth. The Bible says in Psalm 138 verse 2, Psalm 138 verse 2b, he said, for he has exalted above all things his name and his word. His name and his word. So we have one of the most expensive things, two of the most expensive things at our disposal as pillar. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God. They're our pillar. They're our emphasis. And then we have prayers. The Bible says, build yourself up, founded on your most holy praise. Jude 20, Amplified Translation. It says, build yourself up. Make progress, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 4, Amplified Translation. He said, it has speaketh in a strange tongue. He said, edifies and improves himself. Edifies and improve himself. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. Edifies and improve himself. So every time you show up in prayer, what you are doing is that you are building yourself. You are building yourself. So we are not just known as the Word Church. We are also known as the Praying Church. Yes. Most times when you ask between the Word of God and prayer, which one should you choose? I will answer by in the words of Charles G. Finney. Between breathing out and breathing in, which one is more important? If you have answer, I will give you something. Between breathing out and breathing in, which one is more important? Breathing out, Abby. No, please now. Oh yeah. Who are those that want to collect you something? Come. Any person, between, if you have the answer, I sincerely have a reward for you. If you have the answer, raise your hand. Okay, I will give you in dollars. Raise your hand. Mommy, I don't want you to raise your hand. Because I don't want you to go and meet God early. Any person that give me the answer, I will prevent the other one from happening. That's what I want to do. If you say breathing out is more important, then I will stop you from breathing in. Then if you say breathing in is more important, I will stop you from what? Breathing out. Whichever side you choose is death. It's both that is important for a believer. So you can't say, me, I'm a word person. Me, I'm a word person. Faith person. Faith come by hearing. Then you say, when you pray, oh, you're sleeping already. No, you're not a Christian. You're a Christian. You are not. So the Bible says, strong tongue edify, strange tongue rather, edifies and improve himself. So, and then the Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 30, verse chapter 20, verse 35, he said in the word of Jesus himself, he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's why our mission is ended with blessedness. 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 I'm blessed. I'm under the blessing. I say I'm blessed. If your neighbor is not talking, suspect them all. Say I'm blessed. Glory to God. So we have been considering a very powerful series. Honor towards God. How many of us are excited as I am? So if this is your first time, you are welcome. This is the Building Church. And we just explain to you what we do. Our core value explain us. Our pillars also explain us. And our mission, our vision is actually a representation of all these things. That is to build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life. To live a life of impact and societal transformation. That is to build you in all spheres of life is to get to a destination. When you get to the destination, what you do is the life of impact and societal transformation. And that's why in Luke chapter 1 verse 80, the Bible showed us, is here, and the boy was strong in spirit. And the boy grew and was strong in spirit and remained in the desert until his appearing to Israel. Was strong in spirit. So, your spirit is very important to us. That's why we are focusing on building your inner man first. And then, Proverbs chapter 18 verse 14. It says, a man's spirit sustain him in infirmity. It says, but a cross spirit who can bear? Then Proverbs chapter 20 verse 27, it said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It searches the innermost part of his being. What it implies is that the information God is going to be giving you is going to happen in your spirit. And if your spirit is very dull, there's nothing you can do. Hope you know it now, God is talking. It's just like now. Hope you know that Rare FM is here. Rare FM is inside this auditorium like this. What do we need to catch the Rare FM? We need an antenna. So your spirit is that candle that the Lord used to communicate with you. And if that spirit is dull, God will keep talking and you will not hear. Not me. Alright, so very quickly, honor towards God. Somebody say honor towards God. Alright, so the first Sunday we introduced honor towards God, right? Then the second Sunday we did elements of honor, right? And then this last Sunday we did what? How to honor God with what? With your substance, right? And we said there are four things you can give, right? We said the first thing you can give is yourself, right? Right? The second thing you can give is your what? Your what? Your praise. The next thing you can give is what? And as if we mentioned praise now, I just need to remind you that every Wednesday in December is going to be our praise and prophecy service. Yes, we said it. And then there's 72 hours learning retreat from 17 to 20. You don't want to miss it for anything. Register. The registration is to help us prepare for you. The accommodation, the feeding, everything is free. But you are going to fast for the first 24 hours. Let me quickly say that. Yes, you are going to post 24 hours. You can't have us, sir. You understand? Come next week Sunday, there is worship and impartation service. So what it implies is that if you have us, come with that altar. So that we can depossess you of the altar. You and the altar can pathway. You will sign here, the altar will sign here and say we can't meet again. Because of 72 hours learning retreat, right? Alright, so we said another thing you can give is praise. Another thing you can give is what? Your substance. And we say give me your substance include what? Your tithe, your offering, your first fruit, sacrificial, and all of that. And then we say the last thing you can give is your time. Yeah, you can give your time. Glory to God. And then we mentioned some of the ways you should give. That is how to give. Number one, we say what? Knowledgeably. That means you give with knowledge. Don't just throw offering at God and say, Oluwa, atide, oya, bankotone, eni kagwa. And then we say next one is what? Honorably. We say you should give with honor. Then the next one is what? Intentionally. And I dwell on intentionally. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 from verse 1 and 2. He said that you should save up. That is every first day of the week. Save up for your giving. That's why he said 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Save up. He said save up. Like I taught in the Galatians show. You guys, save up. Save up. Save up. So that means that your giving should not, is not come. I say, that was really alone. He said, so only 15 and a half. He said, let me go on you. He said, No. It's save up. It's part of planning. It means that you are intentional about your life. The first component of excellence is actually order. Yeah. That your, and our God is a God of orderliness. You, His children, should also be orderly. Now, if our God is a God of orderliness, how you will know that you are a part of the God that is orderly is that you are orderly. Right? So that means you're orderly, intentionally. Then next, we say you should give cheerfully. He says you give what? Willingly. He says you give bountifully. And then I put a clause on the bountifully. I say you have to be careful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6, if I'm not incorrect, the Bible showed us, he said what? Even so sparingly, shall reap sparingly, and he will go so bountifully. Can you see that? That's what KJV said. NIV says, and generously. KJV said bountifully. He will sow bountifully. He said, but this I say, he which sweat sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which sweat bountifully shall reap bountifully. Yeah, bountifully, right? And then the next thing I say we should do is what? Proportionally, right? Proportionally. We saw that in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16, I think from verse 15 to 17. The Bible showed us, it said, every three times in a year when you are coming to meet, and I said, it's not eating. It said, three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he has chosen, at the feast of, now, that three times a year, that is when the Israelites used to meet. So, and it is here, it is written there, you see, column is there, at number one. So how many times they meet? The first one is what? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. They meet during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Number two is what? The Feast of the Weeks. The Feast of the Weeks. And then the next one is what? The Feast of the Tabernacle. That is, those are the three times they meet. He said, no man shall appear before the Lord empty-handed. And that is why I first mentioned intentionally. Because you are not in the dark that there is going to be Sunday. So when you are going to meet before your God and you are coming like that, I say, where do you say no? And proportionally in verse 17 now showed us that each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed him. And I said it that day. I say, if I dress in a kind of way and climb up here, you is an insult on the building church members. That I dress in a certain way and climb and stand here. Because how can we have this kind of edifice and your pastor is dressing in rags? It's not in proportion to the kind of blessing that is in the house. So when you are giving to the Lord, and it's not in proportion with what you have in your account, or with the way the Lord your God has blessed you. And don't forget, I said the Lord your God is not going to ask for what you don't have. He's going to ask for what you want to keep. It's not what you don't have. And that's why when you check Malachi chapter 1, the Bible showed us, he said that you have fine sheep that can, that when they do, man, it's like AI. You have them in the, at the stock, but you are bringing crippled one, the one you can't own part of your governance. You are bringing it to the Lord your God. He said no. So that's what I'm saying, that God is not going to ask you for what you don't have. How I knew that was because of what happened in Mark chapter 12 from verse 41. Mark 12, 41. The Bible showed us that Jesus was sitting where the offering basket was being kept. He said, many rich people look at this. He said, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people. Three large amounts. And I said, this is the kind of church I want to pastor. Because Jesus was sitting close to there and there were many rich people there. For those of you that have issue with that, Jesus will have sent the rich people away. If many rich people give, what is the widow's mite? Because he had taught them giving. Many rich people were giving in proportion to their riches. Many, if rich people are bringing in widow's mite, there's issue. You are the one the Lord has blessed that you are still a widow mite. In proportion, many rich, this is the Bible. Now, Jesus, I was sitting there. Jesus will cast her. How Jesus will repay? Tell him, my Lord, drop any kind of dollars in. Say, Angel Michael, unlike the guy. Because Jesus was sitting there. Jesus was saying, you wicked people, you are bringing offering. Leave here. He was sitting there and looking at how they were putting the money. The next one he now saw, which is one of the reasons why I said, in proportion does not mean it must be large. It just means what you have. Because look at it. He said, a poor widow came and put in two very small coins. What's only a fraction of a penny? And Jesus does not say, hey, leave it. You don't you see that people have dropping large amount? You are not bringing one small token. Leave it, Jared. No. In proportion means that if God has blessed me to a place where my offering can be 1 million, and because I saw another person dropping 10 naira or 10,000, and I also dropped 10,000, it's not in proportion to my blessing. Imagine with me that I'm Elon Musk. When I give my offering, I say meal. When I give my offering, your account officer will call you. I say, hey Joe, sir, you are not the new director in town. Because I am not going to give based on my giving. I will give based on the proportion of my blessing. That is my principle. I give based on the proportion of God. There are some things that are an insult on God. That God, just imagine with me for a while now, that when I go to see my parents, hope you know their expectation is heightened. And then I went to see them as if I was a student. The thing that I will have carried to go and see them as still student, and I'm driving Lexus. I went to see them with crippled things as if I'm a student. They know I'm not a student. When I was a student, if I give them anything, say, no. But now if I give them, say, two crates of this thing will be one. Yes, they will say it. Because they know that in proportion to what I have, that thing is nothing. Just imagine when your parents call you. I say something. Maybe when you ask, who is a student? Please say, I need for a student. Students. Okay, all of you are now watching class. You're not that. Who is a student that is bold enough to stand up? Okay, stand up now. Jerry is a student. He didn't want to stand up. When I was talking about money, he was shouting, yes, amen. All right, please be seated. I already have two students here. One person. Okay, please, Mr. Ayomide. Is Mr. Ayomide, for example. No, I won't use you. Please. Let me use her. Miss Favor. Miss Favor is a student. And then when she's going home, her parents expected her to come with, since when it's going to be December now, I'll be New Year and whatever. They expect her to come with cow. Eh? Cow, like life cow. I know we know cow is a good business now. Actually, if you have 200,000 and you want to buy cow, is the cow in the womb? I'm not joking, no.
He's the one in the womb. They will bastard for you. So where they born it? Just imagine that that's what they're expecting. But imagine with me for a while that after she finished school, she's one of the top managers at World Bank. If she brings just one cow, her mom will call her and say, have you forgotten that your uncle? He needs cow. They are dealing with her based on the proportion of her blessing, not even her age. So when God is asking for us to give in proportion, God knows how much they enter your account. Even you, you Sabian, check them now. I say if you know loan apps, if you know any other thing, check your transaction. You as a student, you have spent 1 million in a month. And you say, we are students, we also know you spend. So God is not going to be asking you for what you don't have. He's going to ask for that thing that you prefer to keep than to give him. So you are going to be giving in proportion. Can you see this? Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. How many of us have been blessed of the Lord? They are not here. So what God is expecting from you is not giving. It's giving in proportion. So I have blessed you. Kai, I'm blessed. Don't say it to me. I'm blessed. And then last on our list is that what you should give what? Sacrificially. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 22 to 25. Sacrificially. Let's read that because we did not read it last time. It says, Arauna said to David, let my lord the king take whatever pleases him and offer it up. Can you see that? Offer it up. He said, here are oxen for the burnt offering. And here are threshing slings and ox yoke for the wood. Next verse. He said, O king, Arauna gives all this to the king. Arauna also said to him, may the Lord your God accept you. Don't forget, we say when it comes to giving, the first thing on the list is that you are accepted. The second thing is that what? The receiver is pleased. All of you go out. Just last week here, you have forgotten. Is that the receiver is pleased. And let me encourage you, actually. You see, everything I'm saying now, actually, the best of you, you are going to get 30% of what I'm saying. Yes, that is the person that listens the most. It's just 30% you get. You have to keep re-listening to the word. Because faith comes by hearing. It's not having heart. Faith does not come having heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing of the word. It's not having heart. So last week now, you think you've understood everything. Now I'm acting. And then you know, right? The reason why I'm doing this is because I don't even know why I'm doing it. It's so that you can write, actually. So I know now, say, my sermon note. Last week, I was still with me. I never asked for the sermon note. It's just the building church. Pastor Jerry, Psalm 1. That is a note. Wow. Let's write exam with that now. When they say you go and revise your note, that's what you revise. That is a feedback that you are not in church. In fact, another feedback that you are never in church is when you don't have caption for Sunday service, apart from Sunday service was on fire and you put fire emoji. You were not in church. Sunday service was amazing. Our pastor taught on. Then, luckily enough, let me be that pastor. And then I saw it on your stage. I said, this is not what I said in church. I did not say this. Because many people have preached sermons that their pastors do not say. Anything that comes to their mind. One of the ways that you will know you are also not in church today, actually, is when you get home, you will not remember anything. The devil is doing overtime on your head. You know, naturally, the devil has time for people. Then he now creates more time. And see this one, because the truth of the matter is, the change that will come into your life will come by the word. The transformation that will come into your life will come by the word. And that's why the sermon sessions are very profound. They are very profound. Do you know what the word does? The word creates a mirror for you. As seen in the book of James. James chapter 1, from verse 21. He said, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. How can you do what you don't even know? He said, do not merely listen to the word. And so 22. And so deceive yourself. Do what it says. The essence why we are preaching in point and preaching applicable things is so that you go back home and have it to do. and have things to stop doing, and have things to start doing. Being a member of the building church does not build you. It takes participation. And it will show in years to come that you are a member. Because the word is readily available. In fact, do you know the funniest part actually? In Matthew 7. Matthew 7 from verse 24. That is very funny. I came to discover actually that the wise and the foolish man, the two of them, were hearing the word. Yes. He said, therefore, whoever hears this word of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the solid rock. Who hears those words of mine? That is the first thing. But hearing the word is just ensure that you are building. The test, the quality of your hearing will be tested by the wind. All these things you are doing, you are not doing it now, you are not doing it now. That is not where the devil needs you. He needs you outside. This you are not yet. Do not sleep with a brother. Do not visit a brother all that way. They in the same view. You climb by. You come down. You have entered a brother's house. He said, the Lord, Father, if you can keep me sane in this room. The Bible did not say that the foolish ones did not hear the word. They also heard it. Because he said, but everyone who hears this word of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. He also hears the word. But practice, mbano. Those are the people that snap after saying, the service was great today. They don't have a to-do list. Service was great. Service was great. And they are part of the building church, so they are building. Foolishly. Until tests come. And they can't do anything with the test. Then tests come, then they are doing batting. Why? Because they don't practice the word. See, I'm a practicer of the word. I'm a doer of the word. I do the word for a living. Ah, glory to God. I said glory to God. So that's why we are reading the word. Sacrificially again back. He said, let the Lord your God accept you. And that's why I say every time you come with offering, the Lord your God will accept you. Ah, I said the Lord God will accept you. The Lord your God will be pleased with you. Pastor, man, did you have the AC? You see, only me that I'm feeling it here. I want people to take Bible AC, don't want to see you. Please be seated. Because it's like, there's no honesty. Ah, that is a serious something. Please check if the AC is at home. Because there's a way they can be on and they are not on. Ever and check it. Glory to God. Because me, I'm feeling heat here. Hallelujah. Okay, you are feeling cold. Transfer their AC to my side. Alright. He said, may the Lord your God accept you. Next verse, we're going to 25. He said, but the king replied to Arila, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not what? Let's read it together. So he did not say you are not there in church when they were reading it. 2-3, go. I insist. He said, no, I insist on. I will not, but that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. Look at the next verse. He said, David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered prayer in behalf of the land and the plague of Israel was stopped. That is sacrificial. It cost you. Some of you are too convenient with your giving. That is the truth. That is the truth. My giving is not convenient. If it's convenient, sincerely, it's not sacrificial for me. It's not. Now, this is the wisdom. I'm not saying that you will not transfer. I say, sacrificial. Hey, this is where I'm missing it. What you want? Then you sacrifice your school fees. Then few days to your exam, you say you want to see the pastor. So we clear. It's something that is yours. Your school fees is not yours. It's your parents' sweat. Now sacrifice it. Now say, then few days to your exam, you say I want to see the pastor. Then me too, I was there, you say, sir, you can go and check the church account. November 17th. Transfer 100,000, sir. Please, I want to know. Please, sir. I need your help. What? Please, where is the financial treasurer? Ah, what happened? Please, do you have account statement? What happened? Because you have to go and check the account statement of the church. I mistakenly transfer. Don't mistakenly. God will not ask you for what you don't have. That is why the widow did not go and borrow from somebody to go out to, because many rich people were giving. She was in a rich people's church. And yet, Jesus said she gave the most. Because she gave others that she had to live. That's not even my emphasis today. But there is no way you understand what I want to stress today. Because of what I said last week. You will not understand what I want to say today. If you don't understand the premise of giving. Have we established giving, right?
Pastor me.
He later. Where is he? Is he prayer you want to pray? Okay, you're just looking up now. Please come and sit down. What I put in favor, boy, it seems my wife that is praying the prayer. She has brought the AC of heaven. Maybe I will need duvet. Alright, glory to God. So today, I'm actually going to be charging us on what I titled obedience as a proof of honor towards God. You are not excited. Obedience as a proof of honor towards God. Give me Proverbs 21 verse 3 and Proverbs 21 verse 27. I'm first going to read it in NIV. Then you give me in Living Bible, CEV and MSG. Can you just pray in the language of the Spirit very briefly? Pray in the language of the Spirit briefly. Pastor me. For in Jesus' mighty name, I will pray. When we are doing elements of honor, these things are intertwined. I mentioned something. I said that because somebody is giving sodium and chlorine to form salt, I think there is NaSO42, right? Is it a kind of salt? I think it is, Abby. Because actually when you add base and salt, base and acid, what do you have? They are the one that say it though. And because it's an exchange actually, base and acid. When you add base and acid together, what do you have? They are the one that say that though. Pastor me, it's Pastor me that is our chemistry teacher here. Now look at this. There is sodium chloride salt. It's the element that come together. There are elements that come together to form. Don't worry. Since when all of us are not science students, don't allow me to use that. Let me use food. Brothers, keep quiet in this regard. Because the only thing you know is to eat the food. Eat thyself. I used to tell my wife actually that I study human physiology. I study food and nutrition in school. And she does not believe me till now. And what I told her actually is that which day does she want me to cook for her? And she said, any day. And I said, when we did food and nutrition, we need apron. So, me, I don't cook without apron. She was not like, see my fellow brother Jenna. She was not like, what about all this apron? I said, me, I don't use golden penny, all this golden penny apron. I use white apron with cap. I'm a chef. I'm not a cook. We are not the same. I'm a professional, man. So she has been asking me to practice. Bring the apron first. Bring apron and cap. Please help me beg her. So that she can know my culinary skills. But not to go too far, actually. The food we want to prepare is actually garri. Does any person know what we need to combine together to have a strong student power? What are the things we need? Number one, all right, you see them? Number one, water. Number two, no, you poor Kai, if I'm not there. We need gallium chloride. So, then we need what again? Glucose. This person is a doctor. But imagine with me that the kind of garri we want to have is the one that we end up with sugar, crushed ice, milk, granules, and all of that. Don't worry. It's okay. So just follow me carefully. That is the end result of the garri we want to have. Right? Because if I mention some food now, you could don't know it because you are cooked. Me, I'm a chef. Just follow me carefully. So, let's imagine I had all of that together and then I have my garri. That is basic enough. Right? But let's imagine with me that we want to leave garri and want to bake cake. Everybody's silent now. Hope you know that there is a way we can bake cake. But we may not bake cake. We'll bake what look like cake. If an element is missing. Right? I remember when I was doing one of those my food and nutrition exam. They said we should write some of the things, the ingredients used for cake. And I remember beautifully where, with all confidence, writing dusting powder. For those of you, that are laughing now, okay, which powder was I supposed to write? So just imagine that we put baking powder in place of that dusting powder. We are going to have a very dusted cake and all of them look white. So when it comes to honor towards God, there are elements you combine together to have cake of bread. There is bread. There is cake. There is cake of bread. You see, you eat bread daily. You eat cake occasionally and specially. You eat cake of bread specially daily. Yes, there's cake of bread. I saw it in the Bible the first time. Yes, cake of bread, actually. This one is not even a joke. It's not the dusting powder kind of joke. There's cake of bread in the PC. Bake, whatever. Where is this? No, that one is cake of bread. I think they don't allow us to go there. My time is flying. But there's cake of bread. Yes, see now. Is it along with fellowship offering of Thanksgiving? Please let me celebrate the media today. Okay, before I say something, they're just showing me. So, he said, Kai, all of you, Coke for you, Coke. No, sorry. Water. No, I want you to leave FD. So, is to prevent, and you know water is more expensive than Coke, okay, actually. Is to... is to present an offering with cakes of bread. That is not where I'm even going. But where I'm going is this. I mentioned something. I said no matter how you want to tweak cake, that is me saying perspective of elements. Instead of using elements now, I want to bring it home to food that all of you can eat. Because elements, these are all the hard class, but all looking like, what is that? We see elements, omangbisuri. That is elements now. So all those kinds. So let's come and find a landing spot together. So, hope you know that no matter how I try, I can't arrive at having any form of cake if there's no flour. No matter the things I mix together, no matter how expensive they are. So, there are some elements you join together that look like you are honoring God. If the fundamental ingredient is missing, honor is still missing. You see, that fundamental element, which is the flower of cake, is obedience. Outside of obedience, your giving is nonsense. Give proportionally. Give intentionally. Give interpretationally. Give intentionally. If obedience is out of it, your giving is a nonsense giving. So that's why I said obedience as a proof of honor towards God. The fundamental, what is the fundamental of honor towards God again in our element? Obedience. So let's read this together. He said to do what is right and just is more than, and yes, last week we already said giving. Sacrificially. So if you think that you can bribe God with sacrificial giving at the expense of his instruction to you, you are a joker. In fact, no, sorry. You are a jokling. The female version. Give it to me in Living Bible. God is more pleased. Can we read together? When we are just and fair than when we give him gifts. How many of you know those your rich uncle that show up maybe in your grandparents' place and they bring something and your grandparents are not even happy. Just looking at it. Why? Because they don't want to smear their conviction. It's only a wicked mother that collects money from a Yahoo boy. Knowing fully well that he is a Yahoo. He's a wicked person. God is not a Yahoo God. That we ask you to bring gifts to him when he's not pleased with you. Obedience is the epicenter of honor towards God. Because the Bible says, he is more pleased when we are just and fair than when we give him gifts. CEV. Doing what is right and fair pleases the Lord more than offering. If God is not pleased with you and you are giving offering, you will suffer. I'm telling you. Yes. Scripturally. This is the only place then we have issue. 27. Verse 27, very quickly. Please, can we read this together? The sacrifice of the wicked is what? How much more so when brought with evil intent? Give it to me in Living Bible. Very quickly because of my time. God loves the gift of evil men, especially if they are bringing to, if they are trying to bribe him. God has asked you to go and serve somewhere. He said, I will send my money. Oh, Tim, don't share. Our God is not an hungry God. So you won't think that, so if they are preaching on giving, they will have preached, I send my money from the Akko. And that is what happens when you listen to a reader that is not read. A pastor preached something, because last week now, for example, if that is the only message you had, you see, these people, they don't preach obedience to God. Why are you in church? You see, a feedback actually that people have never attended church is what they criticize. Yes. The pastor has not finished talking. You just listen to 30 seconds that they wrote, that somebody came out. Because actually, the Bible is pieces of truth. It's like a puzzle. That you can't carry just one side of the puzzle and say that is the whole truth. And that's why you've seen our vision. We said to build a people of balance. That is the emphasis. Because in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus showed us what balanced growth looked like. He said, for Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and have favor with God and man. So that is number one, is that Jesus developed physically. Jesus developed mentally. Jesus developed spiritually and relationally. You are the only one that don't need men who carry life. See, I don't need any man. I have God by my side. And the Son of Man said, me, I need men. Luke 8 from verse 3. The Bible showed us the people that were helping Jesus out of their sufferings. You see, and Joanna, wife of Cusa, the manager of Aaron's household, Susanna, and many others. And I used to say that if for any reason, Jesus was poor, the people around him would not allow him to be poor. Look at the people now. Aaron's household. Look at the women. Who is the women? We're not talking about the men. I hope you know naturally, actually. Women actually have money more than men. That's the truth. When you marry, you understand. Johanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Aaron's household, one strong woman. Susanna and Mendes. He said these women were helping to support the acts of their homies. Oh. Oh, God, Jesus, You are the only one that don't need men. You misbehave towards men. Say, who is God? No, I'll deal with him. Me and God plus God, we are two. Really? So it's a balanced stature we are actually striving towards. That you live a balanced stature. While you are growing physically, you are growing mentally. While you are growing mentally, you are growing spiritually. While you are growing spiritually, you are growing relationally. Socially. You do face like 2 o'clock. After they say greet each other. Like, you have reached out. 32, you say you are still single. How will you not be single when you are not mingling? Because don't worry now. God will go and create your husband from heaven and drop it. And you know the irony. He's going to be wearing suit. Fully suited. If you marry that kind of person that dropped from heaven, I fear you. I'm telling you, I fear you. Glory to God. Now, there's the other story I would have loved to read to us, but time will not permit me. If you get to me, you can read it. First Samuel, chapter 15. Or we can just read a few scripture, a few of it very quickly. First Samuel 15, from verse 1 actually. It's actually from verse 1 to the end, but we don't have that kind of time. So we are just going to be jumping. Let's jump to verse 16. Verse 16. Now, okay, no, go back up. It says, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you over, king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. Next verse. He said, this is what the Lord says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to the Israelites when they will lead them as they came up from Egypt. Be very fast. He said, now go, attack the Amalekites and totally wait. Attack the Amalekites and do what? And what? You see, there are 2 misconceptions to what when we say we understand obedience to God. The first one is actually the permissive will of God. Say, I already know this is the will of God, but God just permitted me to do this one. What, my brother? There is only one will of God, perfect will of God. Anything outside that, you are in disobedience. Then partial obedience or incomplete obedience. Because impartial actually means it is complete. Abina, English people. Incomplete obedience is equal to disobedience. Which was what this guy did. God said totally. Please, what is totally? The Greek word for totally is what? Okay, they don't understand yet. The Greek word for totally is what? Because most times when you want to pick things out of context, you go and be looking for one Greek word that does not disturb your head. Well, especially when you disobey God. And anything you are looking for, you will find the answer. I'm telling you, in the Bible, there are many people that write many things to permit for what you think you had. Take the Bible at its simplicity. The only time you expand it into Greek, is for comprehension's sake of what is being said, not what is not being said, or not what you want the scripture to say. You can go and expand the Greek word to make the Bible say what the Bible is not saying. Several other translations did not say that thing you are saying. But you now, since when you are a Greek philosopher and a Greek scholar, you have now used Greek to say what the Bible never said. And most of you, what they used to use to come here over there, that is the man is deep, is when he's saying Greek word. He said, this thing is epignosis parousal. The mentaborosonida. What you should have done is that you should have studied Greek in school. The essence of any Greek word that was used is to explain the Greek. If I mention any Greek word here now, it doesn't have effect on the sermon as explaining it would have done. Simplicity is overrated. It's underrated rather. See, my pastor doesn't say Greek word. Okay, like, it's a big Greek school over at 10. What are you doing in learning? I'm not downplaying your Greek word though. But me mentioning Greek word does not explain the Bible. After I mention that Greek word, I will have to still explain it. That is the essence. That's it. The Greek word is amasa. Then you are writing amasa. The Greek word is, and let me tell you the truth actually. There are 3 layers of learning that you need. The first one actually is knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is the collection of information. The second one is understanding. That is what differentiates students in school. my timer, so you have used something to overlay it. That's what differentiates students in school. It differentiates a first class student from, hope you know all of you have knowledge at your disposal in school. But the guys listening, they have comprehension. That's different. Comprehension, actually understanding rather, is the comprehension of the knowledge. They comprehended it. And then if you see a first class student that comprehended the knowledge in school and is still trekking around, he lacks wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the end result of your knowledge and understanding. The end result in the sense that wisdom is the application of comprehended, collected information. The end result of my teaching you today is not for you to do, touch me! Is that you are doing what, that's it. The end result is wisdom. And anywhere you see in the Bible, anything that has to do with building, following it is wisdom. He said, a wise woman build a house. That means that she has application. And that's why I'm saying that the Bible already established it, that the end result of my hearing is not for you to hear it, it's for you to do it. My pastor is deep. My pastor is deep. How deep is your life? You are a reflection that your pastor is deep. Come to our church. My pastor is deep. You see? And you are living a shallow life. Because the strength of the shepherd, the wisdom of the shepherd is seen in the sheep. Because shepherds don't give birth. Sheep do. My shepherding is that you give birth. That is, you produce results. As a result of the teaching. Are we still on the same page? So the end result is not that, is that you have a to-do list. Yeah, you have a to-do list. So when wisdom is being when knowledge is being shot at you, it's for you to collect information. The next thing is comprehension. Then the next thing is application of what you comprehended and collected. Do we get that? All right. So he said, do not spare him. Now, totally is totally. He said, do not spare, put men and children and all of that story. Next verse. He says, so Saul summoned the men and muster them at whatever, all of that, and just go to the place where this guy just went to misbehave. Go to verse 16, because of my time, very quickly. He says, stop, Samuel said to him. That, he has said, we have killed everything. We have done everything. He said, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Next verse. He says, Samuel said, although you were once more in your own eyes. This is what happened to people when they need the help of God. They do everything he asked them to do. Until they think they are self-sufficient in themselves. And I say any attempt towards self-sufficiency is a step away from God. That is, you got to a point where you have wisdom. You see, in Proverbs chapter 2, the Bible admonishes us that we should go for wisdom. We should go for understanding. And then as soon as we enter Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible now says we don't need the wisdom again. Yes, now in Proverbs chapter 2, it says go for wisdom. Is there any of my son? Go for wisdom, go for understanding, go for whatever, apply your heart to wisdom, apply your... Then as soon as we step into Proverbs 3, he now said that wisdom, that understanding we got, that we don't need it. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He said, and lean on your understanding. That means, wait. Okay. Am I not leaning on this pulpit? If there is no pulpit here, can I lean on it? So most of the people that are going to have issue are the people that have understanding. This is a pulpit now. This is not a pulpit. I'm leaning on it, Abby, because it is here. Let me lean on people. I can't lean on something that I don't have. Some of you, your challenge is that you are not too wise. You can analyze things. You can even speak English now. Queen's English. You know, my God. God has moved from God to a God. Oh my God. And then you are doing hand like peacock. May you not be too wise for God. But may you behave yourself wisely. I wrote a few reasons here. So if you read it down, there is a place where it said to obey is better than sacrifice. So you can go and read that. To obey is better than sacrifice. It said, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. He said, does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. He said, and to heed is better than fat of rams. I wrote some reasons here that I obey God personally. I don't know of yours, but I wrote some things here. I say one, because I genuinely love God. One of the reasons why I obey God when He gives me instruction is because I genuinely love the Lord. Number two is because I trust the Lord with my life. Kai, do you know what it means to trust the Lord with your life? Take for instance, this is my wife now. Pastor Lloyd James, please stand. Do you believe me with your life? There's no way, well, don't marry any person you actually do not trust with your life. You are going to die. I'm not the one that said that. It's practical. So if for any reason now, this is what is going to happen. I said one of the reasons why I obey the Lord is number one, I genuinely love the Lord. Number two, I trust the Lord with my life. They are not the same. With my life means that I know that God cannot miss. My wife also knows the same, except if you are joking. Now, you will see now. Please, Pastor Lord James, close your eyes and follow my instruction. The reason why she's able to close her eyes and she will actually follow my instruction is because she trusts me with her life. We sleep in the same house any day, anytime. I will have used pillow to close her nose. I did not do that. We have most times maybe have disagreements. But because of that, I always overlook the disagreement because she trusts me with her life. Husbands, you will not be able to eat at home if you don't trust your wife with your life when you quarrel. When Otapiapia will cause you to tapiapia. Please help me celebrate the parents of Pastor. You see now, I don't even call him Pastor. Of Mr. Victor. Is that how we celebrate here? And please help me bring the parents to the front and Pastor Victor and his beautiful wife to the front as well. Very quickly. Help me bring them to the front. Bring the parents to the front. Mr. Victor and his wife as well. Where is he? Yeah, welcome daddy and mommy. Where is the married man? Yes, please. What style has even changed? Animanda. Hey! Jesus now. Please. Where are the best men? They are sit here. Please bring the best man, whatever. Where are they? Let me give them seats in this place. Glory to God. All right, please let me sit here. Daddy and mommy will celebrate you greatly. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Mr. Victor, your work step has moved changed. Not now. Yours yesterday. Please be seated. Not now. Congratulations. It's good to marry you. Pastor, where are you? Please be seated. Mr. James, please always lay hand on Pastor after every service. Now you have somebody that can also lay hand on him. Yes, Mr. You know all the married people. Please be seated. All right, glory to God. Now, Pastor Lewis James, I want you to do everything I say. Everything I say. The reason why her eyes is closed and she'll be able to do everything I say is because she trusts me with her life. She trusts me with her life. I trust God with my life. I know God cannot gamble my life. That is why I will obey Him no matter the instruction. I genuinely love God once, that's true. But I also trust God with my life. That if I'm accelerating, one of the undoing of a man is understanding, logic. You see, take for instance, God asks you to drink, I'm just saying no. He asks you to drink something that you know with understanding because of, you know, most people that cannot trust God for healing are doctors. Understanding the code. They know, I hope you know, we did something we call it clinical anatomy. And then there's clinical everything, clinical whatever. There's side effect whatever. If you are being hit at this side of the whatever. So that knowledge is too much for you. In Acts of Apostles 27, what happened was that the reason why they could trust Paul and They could trust the pilot and not trust Paul, was God of understanding. Paul was able to perceive ahead that there's going to be issue ahead. But they consulted with the pilot, and the pilot said there's no issue. Understanding versus perception. Paul said, if you guys have listened to me, there won't be loss to life and properties. But you use your understanding, the guy do podcast. He did whatever. He said, Kai, he's good to Kinnikan. He said, and when he saw that the sailing was suitable, this. You see, both the first thing they started throwing was their goods. Then the next thing that they could not eat, because understanding was too much. In Proverbs 2, God asked us to get understanding. In Proverbs 3, he now said, as you have gotten it, don't lean on it. Because the thing we have to be available to lean on. So I trust God with my life. I go for knowledge, though. I apply everything, though. But my knowledge is nothing when God gives instruction. I stop knowing when God says something. So with my life, I trust God. So Pastor Lewis James, this is what we'll do now. Naturally, she has eyes, which is her understanding. But I ask her to not lean on her understanding, because she can use her eyes to, she wants to come to the stage. But now she's going to follow my voice instead of using her eyes, which is her understanding. Move forward, man. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Stop. Turn right. Turn left. Turn right again. That is the reaction I'm looking for. Because sometimes when God is leading you, it's like if he's confused of where he's carrying you to. You're like, you said I should come and serve you. I'm serving you. Why do you ask me to leave again? Are you confused? Why are you confused from the beginning? That was what happened. One of the reasons why Abraham was called a father of faith was because God did not even tell him where he was going. He was just to carry your load. And he carried people along. And he just married. He carried his wife too along. And the wife was falling like a fool. And then the funniest part was when they got to Cana. Hope you know they got to Cana and they still live here. Ha! Oluwa ibi te nbi won bo na ni. Kilo wa dey everyone to be down pala. Because if you have understanding too much, and you are leaning on your understanding, you can't follow God. Because logically it's not making sense. Some of the things God says. But I prefer to follow the foolishness of God than my understanding. Because the foolishness of God, is higher than the wisest wisdom of any man. When God chooses to be foolish, is the peak and the highest form of wisdom. In fact, I wish God give me his foolishness. Let him just hand over his foolishness to me. There's no man that will be my match on it. No man. He's the one that sits at the beginning and knows what is happening at the end. So man, turn. Roundabout. Now, move forward. Wait. Go forward. Turn right. Reverse back. Move forward. Now, turn left. Emoji Kimai Kimi Ofuna. Roundabout. Go forward a bit. It's okay. Now turn left. Move forward. Keep moving. Wait. You are too fast for God. Actually, that is what happened. When you are ahead of God. And you claim you are leaning on his understanding. Please carry your first leg up. Forward. The next one. Forward. And I trust my wife. Her eyes is closed actually. Before you think that, because some of you now, you are closing your eyes for God and opening the second one. Say, Oluwa. 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 Move forward. Keep going, keep going. There is no step. Keep going. I am God. Stop. Turn to your left. Roundabout. Now move forward. Don't be too fast for God this time around. Wait. Carry your leg up. Climb. Keep coming. Keep coming. Now, this looks slow. Abby, that is what happened to most of you. Your understanding looks faster. And you see, things that were born, they were born fast. Look at it now. This is where she was coming. She has understanding. It will feel like, they listen to me. One of the things that happened to some of you is that you are too wise. Another thing is, what will people say? Ah, maybe you have sense now. Why would I allow somebody to be seen roundabout to you? What will people say? Bless or bless? So the first replay, I'm celebrating my wife. Now, since she knows the road to this place, she can use her understanding with God's help to return back to her seat easily. Oh yeah? Open your eyes. Ah, no, don't close eyes again. Now, don't worry. You are leaning on the understanding of God now. Please, you can go back to your seat. Glory to God. Bless or bless. So one of the reasons why, please be seated. One of the reasons why I obey God always. Number one, I love Him genuinely. Number two, I trust Him with my life. You cannot obey a God you don't trust with your life. He understands my life. So I can obey Him. Number three, I believe the word of the Lord. Every one of them. Every one of them. Take your step, I take. Move left, I move. Move right, I move. So it's easier to obey. Number next, I know the Lord personally. Just imagine that when my wife closed her eyes and then somebody was talking, which was not my voice, she will open her eyes up. I know it is the Lord I saying it. Before you go and jump out of play and say, who says you send you? You say it's the Lord. Oh, Lord, that day I did not even talk anything to you. Yes, I know the Lord personally. So move right, turn around. It was Pastor me that was talking. Turn where? So I know the Lord personally. Number next, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. My peace lives when I'm in disobedience. The Bible says in Thessalonians, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. I don't have peace when the Holy Spirit is not at peace. God, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And then the last reason why I actually obey God always is that is the old duty of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The reason why you are living is actually to obey God. Bless or bless. Now, a few indicators of obedience. Number one, obedience actually reveals your view of God. Take for instance, Pastor Nami, I will let me put him on the spotlight very quick, briefly. I remember when we were building this place, there were no many doors here. So there was security concern. So even the pastor would not have loved to stay here. So, but to protect the service, to protect the property, Pastor Mi became our security man. So I remember one day I told him that, you are going to sleep here. So naturally I wouldn't have slept here. But since when you said I should sleep here, I will sleep here. That increased my perception of Him. When are you going to have a God-proud moment of your life? Obedience actually reveals your view of God. Another instance is the fact that He doesn't do WhatsApp. Maybe that is why He has no WhatsApp any lady. That you will know. Pastor Me is doing some things in secret. Don't worry. He will soon reveal His wedding date. You will be shocked. He doesn't do WhatsApp. And you'll be there. Don't die. You'll be there. He doesn't do WhatsApp. But most times, except if I do not sneeze, if I sneeze on WhatsApp, bam, He has replied. He has seen our part. He has replied. I'm not like, why? You know, like, I don't do WhatsApp. But there's no way you can drop. I check WhatsApp. I'm always on WhatsApp. Trying to, you know, sometimes I can send a message by 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever a.m. And he's there to reply. He's there to reply. You are the only one that God is calling by 3 a.m. And you say, Oluwa, you are the only one that does not sleep or slumber. Me, the son of man, I sleep and I slumber and snore. Please be seated. So obedience actually reveals your view of God, either as a king, as a father, as a provider, or the all-knowing God, the all-sufficient one, the only wise God. You're obeying him. Know that God is not gambling with your life. That's the first indication. The second indication is that he shows that you trust God. If you obey God, he shows that you trust God. Because you cannot honor somebody you don't trust. And you cannot expect a miracle from a God you don't trust. Yeah. Then the next indicator actually is because I like this one. It's because obedience is God's love language. Yeah. And I want to touch briefly on love language. Just five of them. But the sixth one actually is obedience. And it's only God that takes that one. According to Dr. Gary, what he said is actually, this is the acronym, WARQP. 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 WAR is WARQP. That is what he called love language. The first word, the W there is what? Yeah? Words of affirmation. That if somebody doesn't want you to affirm them, that is their love language. And that's why I used to say it. That if somebody's love language is WhatsApp status, you discover that every time they do birthday, if they not tag them, they will go and screenshot it and upload it back. You don't buy them gifts. That is the essence of love language. The love language of God is obedience. God cannot ask of obedience from you and you are giving him word of affirmation. He said, and you look what in we know and one agbara latin baba latin ba. Then Baba said, Talon Baba, he said, any Baba. Then he said, Baba, what in banana latin borolo or nothing borolo. God said, my love language is obedience. How did I know that? Because the Bible showed us in John 14:15. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandment. NIV said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. That is God's love language. It's not word of affirmation. It's not act of service. What is your R? Yes? Receiving gifts. What is the Q? Quality time. What is the P? Physical touch. Now say, Oluwa, if I can see you. Touch me, Lord. See me, Lord. Reveal me, Lord. No. He said my love language is obedience. So there is a sixth one. The sixth love language actually is belong to God. And that is obedience. That is the language God understands. Any day, any time. Obedience to God. Obedience to God. So obedience as a proof of what? Of honor towards God. Because of time, let me fly very quickly. On every divine, actually, there are four coordinates to the instruction God gave you. Four coordinates. Number one is the what. Number two is the how. Number three is the where. Number four is the when. That is, every time God gives instruction, it's tied to these four coordinates. What is the instruction? What actually put an answer to the content of the instruction? As we saw in 1 Samuel, from verse 15, you can read it later on. The instruction was totally destroyed then. That is the what. So every time God gives you an instruction, there is a what. God is not going to give you an ambiguous instruction that is not clear. Leave your father's house is leave your father's house. Leave Greek word. Stop wearing trousers is stop wearing trousers. There is no Greek word. Stop dishonoring me is stop dishonoring me. There is no Greek word. So, there is no way you can carry out the instruction of God if you don't know the word. And that's why I've always advised people, every time God gives you instruction, write it down. You are the one that is too smart. Because the truth of the matter is, your lifting will not allow you to remember where God brought you from. many other things. Take for instance, there is no matter how the building church is growing, I have it written down, the instruction of the building church. You can't talk me out of it and give me an advice that God not give me. Because most times, once you are climbing up and up, your words begin to water down. And words actually give energy to clarity. Any instruction God give you, nobody should go and paint it another color. Write it down and keep going. I have a whole whatever dedicated in my tab that is just full of instructions. When we are holding prayer, we know why. The building church, we know why we are doing the building church. Before somebody comes and say, they don't do church like this. Thank you, sir. But this is the way God said we should do our own. Because you have to keep going back to the word of the instruction. The word of the instruction. If not, people will talk you out of it. Hope you know that this guy, what actually allowed the throne to be taken away from him, was because of what people were saying. And he said, when the people, if you read it, I think 35 was there, but I can't remember it. He said, it was the people that talked me out of carrying these things to go and offer to God. What? The next one is how. That is the divine method. Most of the instruction God will give it to you, he will tell you how. And if you have a what and you don't know the how, there's issue. Because the how actually is actually the energy for innovation. What it implies is that it gives energy for your motion. How you will do it is the energy for strategy. Because the what has a how. Yes, every what has a how. The next one is the where, the location, the place. Where are you going to have? They say, God asked me to serve. I can serve anywhere. And then you did not choose Samisa Forest. You chose Canada. Oh, carry lie. Oh, Kushel. Bele. Coordinates. The way. And then this way many people used to miss it. Like we saw with Pastor Lois James. Is the when. Stop and you are still moving. The when. And I've told people severally, I don't know many things, but I know the when. I know timing. It's timing. Many people, God has given them promises and it looks like the promise is not fulfilled because they don't know the when. There is chronos, the passing of time. There is kairos, the appointed time. The when. Now strike. That was the difference between Elijah and the prophet of Baal. He said when the time for the evening sacrifice came, he knew that time was the day. I'm praying for you. For every instruction God has given you, may you know the how, may you know the what, may you know the where, and importantly, may you know the when. In the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus. Finally, how to guide against disobedience. Number one, maintain fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Number two, test every instruction by scripture. Every instruction by scripture. Don't be in haste to obey God when God has not spoken. Because God only back what he has said. Number two, be quick to obey, not to argue. Advisor, Ekushe, you're advising God. Number three, learn God's pattern in obedience. Learn God's pattern in obedience. And then number last, which some of you will not like, stay under spiritual authority and counsel. There are people, hope you know, one reason why, even if you're a mechanic, one reason why you carry your car to a mechanic is because a mechanic is trained. That's what it does. Some of us, we hear God for a living. Yes, sir. Take for instance now. Hope you know that all this thing I'm saying now, if I'm not going to preach today, did I need to do this? I leave it for my life. But I have to stay, keep staying to hear God for you. That is my duty. So when you carry what you have had, you that you hear God occasionally, only when you want to marry, and when sickness catch you. That is the only time you hear God. When you want to marry, some of you now, you have never had God. We are waiting for when you want to choose. Then I say, sir, I have an issue. What is the issue? I can't hear God. But I think I like one sister, and I think I like the other sister, and then I think I like another. Only you are almost like Solomon now. You have come with 100 sisters that you like. Why? Because you can't hear God. You see, the definition of confusion actually is, start from when you can't hear God. Yes. And you know the irony. It doesn't have to be big. To the smallest of things, you practice hearing God. Do you know that when somewhere that the Bible says his word never fall to the ground, when God spoke to him the first time, God stayed in there a lot. You are the only one that says, all of us have the Holy Spirit. All of us have the Holy Spirit. Why didn't God boycott Eli to start speaking to someone? He still used the voice of Samuel, this voice of Eli, to call Samuel. You see, staying under spiritual authorities and counsel will help you a whole lot. Because some of the things you have heard that you think you are the only one hearing it, several other people have heard it and they have reported it to the pastor. So he knows the pattern. And don't forget, there is a pattern. I say, know the pattern of how God talks. Most times there is a pattern to how God talks. Bless or bless. I want you to pray very quickly, very briefly, even as you are seated. The Father, for all the instructions you have released in my direction, is there any way I have been disobeying you, dishonoring you in my disobedience? Show mercy, Lord. Have mercy on me. Is that how you are praying? Father, help me for every instruction to know the what, which is giving clarity, to know the how, to know the where, and to know the when, especially the when. Jesus was saying, he said, woe to you, O Jerusalem. He said, for you know not the time of your visitation. Some of you, the instructions God has given unto you, you have ever forgotten. Why? Because you have not updated, you have not checked your notes to update your curriculum of the sayings of God. Some of you will have to go back to that journal of instruction again. Is that how you are praying for yourself? Help me to know the word in its full extent. To know the how. To know the where to stay at a part time. And to know the why. And to know the when. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, I will pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is The Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at The Building Church behind Beckerdams, Tanke Okiodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at The Building Church. Stay blessed.